I am Kareem Taylor, contributing editor at Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are enjoying us, please head over to Apple Podcasts, give us all the stars. This helps other people find us. In today's episode, we take a quick trip to Rome to the Promax BDA Europe Conference. Dr. Simon Moore was one of the day's speakers. Moore is a chartered business and consumer psychologist and managing partner with the award-winning psychological insight and behavior change consultancy, Innovation Bubble. Simon and his psychology team have advised well-known entertainment brands, as well as global brands, in relation to finding the hidden psychological influences on employee and customer behavior and decisions. In this session, Moore shares case studies in cognitive psychology, neuropsychology, and behavioral science to demonstrate how we all live much more in the non-conscious world than in the conscious one. This session will challenge your assumptions, inspire you to consider new solutions, and help you understand alternative methods. Let's listen in.
My name's Simon. I'm a psychologist. I run a rather strange agency where we're all psychologists, which makes very interesting meetings. But what we tend to do is find out the whys of behavior. Okay, and we work all over the place with different brands, finding out why people do stuff and why they don't do stuff. And then we help creatives, we help marketing, we help product design, pricing, for example, in terms of how the brain kind of leans in and leans away from information. So what I'm going to do in the next sort of 28 minutes and 50 seconds is try and tell you 40 years of psychology. So it's going to be a bit of a flick book exercise, but stay with me, it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster. So I'm going to ask you some questions to start with, though. So these are the three things that I'm going to try and cover and give you some kind of exercises to do. So it's not just me talking, you'll be doing stuff as well. So if you want to leave, go now. So the first thing, how many of you would say you're intelligent? None of you. Great, this is going to be really interesting. Five or six brave people. Okay. How many of you would say you're popular? Even less. Oh my goodness. Shall I just leave now? Okay. How many of you would say you were shy then? More of you, which is really interesting, isn't it? If you're shy, why the hell are you putting your hands up in front of 100 other people? Right. Welcome to my world. Why do people do stuff that is in any relation kind of to what they really think and believe? Because how many of you work in a world where someone tells you, I really like orange, and you give them orange, and then they go and use red? Does that happen a lot? Okay, right, this is what I do, kind of why does that happen? Okay, so we're doing three things then to try and pick that apart, okay, to probably give you a little bit of understanding of how your brain doesn't work properly, mine included. It works in a very strange way. So first thing we're going to do then is look at what the needs are of people. Okay, we've all got needs. The funny thing is that probably if I asked you what your needs are, you're probably not really sure. Okay, so but don't feel kind of, you know, silly, because that's probably what humans are like in general. So I'm just going to give you some sort of pictures to look at. So when you look at this, have a quick think. You don't have to tell me. I'm not writing any notes about you. Where would you like to be in that picture? So make a very quick, you've probably decided already by now. So, how many of you chose that spot? Lots of you. Okay. Probably looking outside this morning thinking, oh, I'm never going to get down to the beach today. It's not very nice. But how many of you are in the water and how many of you are on the... Who's on the sand? Okay, slightly more anxious people. Who's in the water? A bit more adventurous. Okay, right. Now, this picture... In a very simplistic way, I can divide you all up on what your basic needs are very quickly. Okay, and I can use this information. So, for example, I can look at these types of the people who put their hands up. I've used this information with TV stations and worked out, actually, for example, that if you market your products to the parents, not to the children, you'll get a better success rate in terms of purchase. So don't market Peppa Pig. Market what the parents liked, because they will relate to how that made them feel. They're not going to relate to how Peppa Pig makes them feel. It's a more of a difficult leap for their brain to make. What you're doing is you're actually triggering an emotional memory for them to say, I want that for my children. So it's a slightly more indirect way of doing it. How many of you thought about what the hell is in this black area? Or how many are you now thinking, I wish I paid more attention to this picture, I'm now going to get back out of the water? Anyone slightly worried what might be lurking here? Okay. So this is the problem. What we find is that most brands, products, services always kind of flash off the shiny stuff. What is the positive thing about what I'm doing for you? Okay, and that's kind of a common mistake to make. The trouble is that probably around about 40% of the people in the world, the way their brain works is, what's the risk here? I'm not even going to think about the positives until you take all the risk away from me, and then I'll lean into what you're offering me. So if you don't market that, you've lost them straight away. Okay, so they're not interested in this at all from the beginning. So let's take these people there. What are they interested in? So this is really interesting. We actually found out that if we target crime dramas in high crime areas, we get a really successful purchase rate. Now, if you ask these people, do you live in a high crime area? They don't know. But subconsciously, they want to find out, what do I need to do to cope with crime? I know, I'll watch crime drama, because that would give me a big clue about what to do if someone comes in with a chainsaw in the kitchen. How many of you chose this area? Some of you have put your hands up 3 times. I love you about human behavior. I just cover all bases. Right, so for these people then, what we tend to find is that it's kind of about new experiences, new kind of horizons, what actually is around the corner. So what you could do with these people is actually make life difficult for them. And I know, how many of you heard the word frictionless? One of my pet hate words. Who likes to make people kind of have easy experience? How many of you like to make things easier for your customers? Okay, you might want to change your mind in about 20 minutes. Okay, easy does not work for your brain. Your brain does not like easy. That's why it exists. It's there to be stimulated. You make things easy, not good. Right. How many of you were at the party last night? Some of you. How many of you are in a relationship that you were until you came here? You think you might be when you go home, hopefully. Who's in a new relationship as a result of last night? Anyone? Right. So, the fact is, let's just think of this scenario. So you leave your house or your flat in the morning and there's a beautiful person outside who says, I'm yours. And you think, oh, okay. 2 weeks later, it all goes wrong. Okay, and you're probably like, okay, well, that was a shame, but whatever. Now, let's compare that to you've just spent the last 6 months stalking the most beautiful person in the world. You've been relentless about bombarding them to sort of go out with you, and then finally they give in. 2 weeks down the line, it all goes wrong. I bet you'll be really upset then. Because what we undervalued is time and effort. Actually, time and effort is a bigger currency than money. Investing time in something, you'll never, ever get that time back. You do have a chance of getting money back again. But once you've invested time, that time's gone. So my advice as a psychologist is think very carefully. Because if you want to build a relationship, you have to make someone invest in you. If you make things too easy, they will just leave easy. There's nothing there to keep them there. I haven't invested anything with you. So this is a little bit counterintuitive, but this is the way that the brain works. It doesn't like easy because it's not doing anything. It just remains idle. So how many of you have been in relationships where you kind of, it's a simple piece of information, your brain's got involved, and then it's become really complicated, overcomplicated. That's because it's got bored, basically. And, you know, the person you're talking to says, I didn't mean that at all. But your brain steps in and thinks, I'm kind of a bit bored. Let's kind of add some stuff. Let's pour some kind of petrol on this because it's more stimulating. So if you hide stuff, this works just as well in supermarkets and retail shops. If you hide bargains, for example, it makes some people who like new experiences work harder. They actually feel actually quite good when they find something that's not presented to them on a plate. Because they feel intelligent then. So the point is, don't always make stuff easy. Some audiences want stuff to be hard because they actually get kind of their ego massaged and feel better for it. So, but you need to work out what the needs are of your audiences. The good news is there aren't many needs. Okay? And needs are much more stable than personality. Okay? So how many of you do sort of are used to segmentation work? Who does like personality segmentation or has heard of it? Some of you? Okay. My advice is probably don't do it. Because who you are now is not who you're going to be at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's not who you're going to be at 8 o'clock. Who am I marketing to? Who am I putting that product to? Am I putting it to you at 3 o'clock or 10 o'clock? It goes wrong. It's not very stable. What we do know, though, is that needs are much more stable. Who writes lists? How many of you go out and write lists? Okay, now this is a bit of a chicken and egg problem. Do the night before you start writing your list the day after, do you write yourself a list to tell yourself to write a list the next day? And if you don't, how do you then start writing lists? Because you have it's not on your list. I suppose what we're trying to say in a kind of flippant way is that you have patterns, and your patterns of behavior are not down to your personality. Your personality is a manifestation of these things. Okay, so if you have a high need for ego, you'll be competitive. It's not that you're competitive. And that's your drive. Your drive is to maintain your ego, to look good, to feel good. That's what will manifest the behavior of competition. Okay, so don't do personality research because that is at a superficial level. You need to do this stuff. If you know someone who's got a high need for control, they'll have a high need for control whatever they do. So if you're building stuff and giving them products and services where you've got control, they won't go anywhere near you. You haven't given them what they need. See what I mean? So that's how things kind of work in that sense. So look at these words. Are they all positive? Could you divide them up into groups? How would you kind of like view them? How many of you would say that they're all fairly positive? Yeah? Anyone say any of them are negative? Would you all be happy to use them if you were trying to sell something? Okay, so the trick question, they're all negative and they're all positive. Okay, so if I say to someone who wants a new experience that this product is really safe and our brand is trusted, you've lost them. There's no experience there. They're not actually going to kind of like be an adventurer and cut a new path because people have been here, it's done, it's boring. Okay, so even the actual words you use can actually make the consumer's brain rebel at a subconscious level. It could be down to one word that you use in your descriptions. Okay, if I do lots of MRI scanning, I can see that the kind of risk factor of the brain will actually trigger down to the actual words you use on stuff that you describe. So that's how it's like kind of trying to navigate through a minefield for you guys. So, in terms of kind of your consumers then, how would you like them to feel? Would you like them to feel like this, or would you like them to feel this? Which of the pictures are you going to choose? Who's going to choose the guy jumping in the air? Who wants to produce stuff that makes people do this? Who wants to make people do what the lady's doing? Fairly divided. Okay, as a psychologist, I would say it's the lady you should be aiming for, not the guy. Okay? If we create excitement, imagine the last time you're excited. It might have been the party last night, I don't know. But imagine the last time you're excited. What happens? It doesn't happen very long, does it? And what do you feel kind of towards the end of excitement? Obviously, a lot of you got really excited because you're all... Well, you kind of, it's tiring, isn't it? Don't you kind of come, it's a bit like kind of crack cocaine. You just like come down, don't you? And then what do you have to do? You have to get them excited again to try and create that new excitement. So it's a real kind of roller coaster kind of issue. That's really bad for consumers because they find it really tiring and they're going to walk away. What you want to create is a pleasant experience. There's no emotional investment in terms of energy levels, so it doesn't tire us out. It sits in the background and it reinforces what's going on. It doesn't distract people. If you excite people, you'll distract them from what you are and what you're doing because all they're concentrating is on how they're feeling. So again, it's quite counterintuitive you need to be quite careful in what emotions you're kind of creating as brand people as well. So there's the impact, what we know in terms of trust, retention, customer experience. That's the effect. Whereas if you please people, look, it's almost, well, it's more than double the kind of impact factor. If you just make someone pleased, you get more retention, you get less churn, you get more kind of product buying, for example. So pleased and pleasant are really kind of devalued as a kind of an emotional currency. So second thing then, how does your brain process information? Kind of simple kind of answer to this is it doesn't do it very well. Our brains aren't very good at information. So anyone up for kind of a time in front of a jury in the next sort of 6 months or so? Okay, so if you ever find yourself in a court of law, one thing you might remember from this morning's session is make sure your solicitor or your lawyer presents your evidence in a story-based way. Don't do facts, okay? So don't sort of think, right, what's the main facts that are going to get me off the hook here? Okay, I can list three things. Let's put them in order of kind of impact. That doesn't work as much. Look at the difference we find, and these are taken from live juries from around the world. Look at the kind of acquittal rates and conviction rates when I just change the order of the information. It's the same information, I've made a story out of it, and the second one, I've just done bullet point information in terms of facts. Nearly a quarter of a difference in the result. And this is because your brain works in a very particular way. Okay? And don't take my word for it. I'm going to give you some scientific evidence now. The pictures below are the sort of left and right side of a brain taken from 1,000 consumers in finance. Okay, so a fairly pragmatic, quite boring and dry kind of sector. And what we had is we had a print media, so in other words, we had a fact sheet and a PDF of all the reasons why you should buy this financial product. Okay? And given it's finance, you would think people would like money, you would like figures, you'd like graphs. And then we translated that into a website. So in other words, we just put the PDF in a digital form. We then put these people in an MRI scanner and showed them this. And we wanted to see what happened to their brains. Now, the funny thing is, if you look at the top picture, facts and figures and pragmatics and practical stuff is processed by this part of the brain. Okay, the front part. All the emotional stuff is at the back. So the way things make us feel. Look what happened, all the kind of consumers, when we showed them this very pragmatic, practical information. What part of the brain's been triggered? Front or back? Back. So even when I actually give people numbers and they are used to numbers, it's not the numbers, it's how they feel about the numbers that's important. It's how you make people feel that are going to make them lean in or lean away from you. The brain is very much kind of biased towards that emotional information. You work in a very visual. What have you all got in common? Do you know what you are? As a species, what are you? I know, all right, some of you are human. What are you in terms of a species? It's like, oh, don't ask this question, it's Monday morning. Where are your eyes, hopefully? All right, on your head, yes, hopefully. Whereabouts on your head? Forward, what does that make you? A what? Nearly. You're predators. Maybe a few of you were pretty much in predatory mode last night. But the fact is we're all predators. So 70, 80% of your brain's capacity is given to visual information. Don't we? You say you don't judge a book by its cover. Oh, yes, you do. Okay, so visual stuff. But given the fact you're working in a visual industry, what we also know is that emotions are very much tied to visual processing. Okay, so people, it's how they feel about stuff. So I can change people's lean in and lean out according to the method. So if we go back to what I said to you about people's needs, so people who need to be kind of, I suppose, told that there is no risk here as opposed to people to say, what's the gain, what's the reward, I can make them lean in and lean out just by tweaking the message. So I can see what parts of the brain change just by changing, are you threat bias or are you reward bias? And I can reposition stuff and actually get you to change your behavior. Now, you'll know this. Who said they're in a relationship? This is going to sound familiar to you, okay? So you'll do five really nice things, won't you? Or what you think are nice things. You've only got to do one slightly annoying thing. And what happens? What does your partner then do? What happens to those five lovely things you've done? They've gone. Vanished. Well, they're in your head. And you're thinking, what the hell? And that's the way the brain works. So the brain is very biased towards negative information. So actually, what I find really funny about brands is that brands and products and services always say, this is positive, this is positive, this is positive. You've only got to do one slightly negative thing and all that becomes undone. So in actual fact, your effort should be on ironing out the negatives before you start talking about the positives. Don't go into sell mode, this is great, this is great. What you should be spending your effort on, and which actually gives you kind of higher rates of return and cause less churn, is ironing out the bumps in the road in your services. They're the things that will actually impact on your consumer kind of loyalty. They're the things that will impact on your consumer churn. Because the brain is wired towards survival. Any threat, it becomes alarmed. Okay? Any bad experience, it doesn't like. You don't like stress. So bear that in mind. If you've got limited budgets, concentrate on removing the negative. Don't throw stuff on the positive all the time. So we've kind of alluded to some of this, and this might sound rather kind of counterintuitive. What things then can actually have negative impacts on the consumer? Being too easy, we talked about that. Popular doesn't always work. How many of you actually say lots of people are watching this or viewing this or listening to this, downloading this? That could actually be a not good thing to say to some consumers. Because from their needs point of view, they don't want to be in the group of everybody. They want to be different. We also know that beautiful and prestigious and luxurious actually can work against you. So packaging up things as being really kind of special, what happens is people might buy it once and then never buy it again, and they protect it. They put it in a lovely little box somewhere, hardly use it, but just say, I've got it. That's not going to give you much repeat stuff. Okay, so you have to be very careful how you kind of, the way the brain kind of deals with resources is if it's not actually in common, kind of, I suppose, if you can't get much of it, you're going to be quite kind of careful what you do with it. And the fact is, if you buy something that you think is overpriced or is branded as being right, really great, you don't use it much either. The brain then kicks in and says, hang on, you've got to be careful with this resource. I've given myself one big treat, I can't do it again. So, little things then. How many of you have seen websites like, who've said this, or how many of you got stuff on your websites where you kind of say how much experience you have? Some of you are looking a bit restless now. Is this like a common statement you might see? Right. Now, the fact is, if you go back to what I've said to you is, this is a fact. There's no emotions here. I'm not also kind of tapping into your visual processing. This is about reading and memory. It's a statement. Does it really mean anything? What does it mean? It's in context. It means nothing, does it? However, what I can do as a psychologist, I can change this information and make it more accessible, more kind of easy to remember, and actually see things in more context. So I can change it to this. I could do a history line. Simple line, a long line means lots of history, doesn't it? Easy. I could put on that line all the things you want to boast about. Where did you start and where are you now and what did you do in between? Which I can't do in a statement. Imagine how big that statement would be if I included a paragraph. That thing on the right-hand side is now much easier for your brain to process because it's a visual thing. I can see there's a long line of tradition, and I can see all the points that you are quite good after all. Okay, so there are ways that we can present stuff that makes your brain lean into stuff rather than go, whoa, 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 whoa. That's hard, doesn't mean anything, I don't like it. So, Let's look at media then. So we can actually do two things. We can sell products and services from an emotional point of view. We get quite good kind of return rates when we do things like this. So if we create an emotional story about why would you like this box set or why would you like this playlist, as opposed to buy this for this money, you get all this, which a lot of you are still doing. There's no story there. You're not appealing to anyone's needs. It's a very pragmatic piece of information, and I've just shown you that we don't like pragmatic information. Although a lot of people would say, I'm really intelligent, I like to study stuff. How many of you have voted recently? Right, how many of you downloaded all the manifestos of all the parties? No. How many of you voted, I like blue, I like red? I like one politician, I don't like one politician. Right, it's the emotional feel, isn't it? And it's how they make you feel that's important. It's not the fact that you went through all the manifestos and went, you know what, that kind of swings it for me. We're much more simplistic than what we think we are. So, last thing then. Most of our kind of existence is based on the non-conscious kind of world. Okay, we're not even aware what's going on. And Alexander hinted about this morning. The fact that it is that if you ask someone something, so if, how many of you do like customer surveys or client research or stuff? And it's all based on post-rationalized stuff, isn't it? Did you like this song? Well, what do I say yes? Do I say no? Do I want to look intelligent? Do I want to look funny? It's all post-rationalized stuff. So, quickly tell me how many Fs are in this sentence. There's no pressure because you said you weren't intelligent. Who's going to go for two or three? Anyone going to go for four? Anyone five? What about six? Okay, so we've divided you up into five groups on a single sentence. There are six Fs in this sentence. Right, it's a sentence. It's pretty simple. What do you do? Do you create simple things or do you create fairly complex visual things or auditory things? What's your world? Is it that simple or is it more complex? Do you build more complex stuff for people? You don't know. Are you? You are. Right. If you can't process a sentence very well, how the hell are you expecting your target audience to process what you do for them very well? You are overloading their capacity. You're actually being quite nice to them and thinking, oh, you're more intelligent than what you are. But your brain doesn't work that way. It likes very simple things. And even simple things, it doesn't do very well. So all your lovely, shiny stuff you do, you have to be really careful what you're doing, because what you're doing is you're frying the brain of the target audience. You're making it hard for them, which is okay, but don't make it too hard. Okay, so this is how people make decisions, you included, me included, this is how we make decisions, generally speaking. Most of it is gut feel. How do I feel about this? If it's really important to you, then you'll flip into the 20% consciousness. But if you had to think about everything all the time, literally what would have happened this morning is you would have got up and you would have fallen on the floor unconscious, because your brain would have just actually fried itself. Okay, the non-conscious system is there to actually protect you from actually getting worn out all the time. So this is what interests me about big data. Big data, all it does is just tell you there's a pattern. It doesn't tell you why. It doesn't tell you how to change the pattern. Okay. So big data is very rational. But what you need to find out is what is going on in reality. So someone might tell you, yes, I really like that music or I really like that box set. And in reality, they don't. They're just managing their ego, for example. So how do we cut under that kind of level? So there are ways of doing this. So this is a kind of a live example from a media client. They wanted to find out why are people telling us one thing and doing another. So you see all the words around the periphery are all the things that are actually people associating with the brand. The different colored lines, the closer the lines are to the words, the more it's actually having an influence. So if you see, for example, the red line is quite close to brand is safe at the top. The difference between the red line and the green line is I can actually work out what is a conscious and a non-conscious response. And it's the non-conscious space that you should be interested in. In other words, it's the red line that we should actually believe, not the green line. And you can actually see from this example, which I'll end on, that the actual pattern of the red and the green is very different. And this is why brands and products and services get themselves into so much trouble, because they listen too much to the rational world. In this example, what happened is they thought that people weren't trusting them as a TV brand. So what we need to do is you need to look into my eyes. You can trust me. You can trust me. We have a great 100 years experience of TV. Nothing happened. I think they lost 8% more customers in the next year, apparently. So we went in and did stuff and said, no. They know that you do, intuitively, they know that you're good at your TV stuff. You can't just kind of, you know, do your brand over a kind of cup of coffee in a bedroom. They know you've got experience. What they are not clear on, though, is managing their role with you. So you're creating these lovely apps and all these services and stuff. The people are embarrassed to admit that they don't know how to use them. They don't know how to use the app. You saw the remote controls in the picture this morning. They don't know how which remote control. They're not going to tell you that because that would make them look unintelligent. So if you don't ask the right questions, you're going to get red herrings about what you need to do. We actually changed, so we actually got stuff to make it easier and actually talk to the consumers and say, we know this is hard, but we find it hard too. This is how we're going to work with you to make it easier. 16% increase in their market share in the next year, just on that simple piece of information. So if nothing else today, I hope you've learned that don't take things at face value. If you talk to me in a second, question what I'm telling you, because it might not be the truth. That was a joke. Gosh, you're all serious this morning. And think about how you can, kind of, I suppose, play to people's emotions. It's a create a story. But you need to find out, again, back to Alexander's point, what is the need of the audience? It's not the product. It's not the shiny thing you're building. You need to make that shiny thing bend to what they need. And they're not always going to tell you when you ask them what they need, because they won't know. So this is why you need to get psychologists, anthropologists involved in your stuff, because they can tease this out for you and unlock that information for you to use. I'll end there. Thank you for listening.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Kareem Taylor produced this episode. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekhayer-Marion contributes to Daily Brief. Follow Promax BDA on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.